So all of a sudden, our cash flow was fixed, and as we say, the rest is history. Any questions about this era, and I'll push on a little bit later? Yeah. Say again. Physics and engineering was what we had built, Computer Space. That was the name of the company. When it looked like this was going to be a real company and we were selling, and I think it was when we, I think we hit $1 million a month, which we thought was really big time. That is a nice milestone. We decided it was time to incorporate. And so in those days, before the internet, what you had to do is you had to put down the names that you wanted and in order, and the Secretary of State would go through and see the ones that have already been taken and cross them off. So Atari was actually the fourth or fifth selection. First one was Visitors, second one, and third one, I don't remember what they were. But the other one was Atari, and Atari came from the game of Go, and it was a polite warning to your adversary that you're about to be taken, which I thought was a suitably aggressive warning to our competitors, and it also means jackpot in Japanese. And I just thought it was, I liked the onomatopoeia, the word, I thought it was a good word. It's funny, because it means jackpot or bullseye, several times after that, a Japanese company, the Japanese guys would say, Atari. Very, very good name. But you think perhaps too boastful for Japanese. It came back that Suzuki had been taken by a Mendocino candle maker, much to our chagrin, and in retrospect, Suzuki would have been a horrible name to go into the consumer market with. First of all, nobody could pronounce it anyway. Second of all, it used up all the Y's and A's and stuff. And it came back Atari, and we were actually a little disappointed. We said, what's in the name? We'll like it in a little while. And sure enough, we ended up loving the name. The logo actually came from a guy named George Opperman, who was our chief graphics designer. And he did a bunch of them, and he looked through them and said, that one, but square up the sides a little bit so that it... And he did put the Atari below it, food design, which is all during the form. I actually have a business card that was an interim. It was about, I think we incorporated in June of 72, and I think that the Atari Suzuki logo didn't happen until like November of 72. I don't know if you noticed on the early Pong logo type, it said Atari Suzuki Engineers. That was because we thought we had a lot of equity in our name Suzuki, and we wanted to cross brand a little bit for those people who were out there just searching around for a Suzuki Engineers product. that's pretty much it there. Any others? Funny you should mention that. I actually had political aspirations at one point in time. I was actually going to run for Congress, and I had got my political action committee and my PAC and experts and what have you, and they'd done some polling, and I said, I could become a congressman. So I said, okay. I'll be the best man congressman I can think of, so I'll go back and train myself. So this was long before the election. I went back and I bought a house in Georgetown and went back, wrote a bill, got it introduced in the House and the Senate, and went around lobbying for it. And there's an old saying that says one should never watch law or sausage in the making. And I can say that, you know, I spent enough time in Washington, D.C. to see how Congress actually works to decide. I really agree with the flag you said. The only difference between the Congress of the United States and a barrel of monkeys is that the Congress doesn't have a barrel. It was very disheartening, and I decided that, one, I really didn't want to hang around with those guys, and two, that I could be much more effective. One thing I did figure out is that we do have the best government money can buy, because I found, because one of the things you do when you're running for congressman is you start making friends with other congressmen, and one of the ways to do that is you contribute to their campaign. And it soon became very clear that if you donate $500 to a congressman, they'll return your call within 24 hours. If you donate $1,000, he'll return it almost immediately. Turns out that the Senate is a little more expensive. You've got to get a 24-hour call back. You've got to go about $4,000 to $5,000, just so you'll know. They don't publish this price list, but it's pretty accurate. But in terms of California right now is such a mess. Notwithstanding my experience of being in Atari when we were totally out of money and that, I'm just not sure that there's a really good driving video game that could pull California out of it. We're up to, in the early days of Atari, actually in the early days of physics, one of the things that we did is we started a coin-operated game route. And I wanted to do that for two or three reasons. First, I had four computer space prototypes that were fundamentally unoperable because they were A-standard prototype boards, and I was probably the only person in the world that could fix them. But yet they earned money. And so I said, I can buy these things from Nutting for $200, and this is the cost of the cabinet. And put them on location. So I bought some pinballs, and that's why it happened to be in Andy Capp, because we operated all the pinballs and the other video games in Andy Capp. And we had a pretty good route. And in fact, right after the Pong thing, the route was generating a lot of cash flow. And when I bought Dabney out, who was my partner from Antex, he was my office mate, and when I bought Dabney out, he took the route, and he had the Atari operation as part of his compensation. And he ended up with some stock in Atari and the cash payout and the route. But I think we had the route up to a couple hundred pieces. This is the story that we had an arcade in Berkeley. The South Telegraph Avenue. And Telegraph Avenue is a little bit of a tough place. And Bristow was still in school, and he ran the route in the Berkeley area. And he and his wife used to go and make the collections. And he applied for a handgun permit in Berkeley. And of course, People's Republic of Berkeley turned him down. Handguns are not good things. Yeah, he was really worried because he was carrying relatively large amounts of cash down to this relatively seedy part of Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley. And so their solution was that his wife carried a hatchet. True story. That was their cash flow, and he was doing work for it, and his compensation was he got 15% of the receipts of the Berkeley operation. So that was how we worked the cash flow there. Yeah.
What was the...
Oh. Okay. I wanted to start getting a more professional management team in place. In fact, I tried to hire an Atari president about 6 times because I knew for a fact that I didn't know what I was doing, but I kept hoping that somebody else could. But I found out that most people who were deemed to be presidential material didn't know how to run a company without money. You know, like I got some guys from Hewlett Packard, total disaster. And I got a guy in who was a management consultant, and total disaster. And so when it came to scrambling and keeping everything going when you didn't have money to throw at problems, I found out that I was as good as it was. And that was really disappointing to me. A guy that had lived across the street from me, named Joe Keenan, who was working in timeshare and was a really, I considered him to be one of the smartest guys I knew, said, you know, Nolan, I've been watching this, and he says, I'd like to come work for you. And I said, I'd love to have you work for me. And we were sitting there and saying, what are your biggest problems? And I said, well, I'm a basically paranoid guy. And I said, I am afraid that there will be another small company. I pretty much stopped and figured out that the Chicago companies weren't being innovative. But I was afraid that some small little company was going to become innovative and maybe take the market share. And that at that point in time, in the coin-operated game business, there were essentially 2, and in some cities, 3 coin-op distributors. Well, and they tended to be required exclusivity. And so if we chose one distributor, there's one guy who didn't have the line. And so I decided that I really needed to deal with that problem. Because if those guys that didn't have the line were going to be going out trying to find any little piece of company they could to get into the business, and I said one of them might actually get a hit and hurt it. So let's see if we can't dry up their potential for success